Hello and welcome to the AQA A-Level Business Podcast, supporting your teaching of our specification. Today, you are listening to the eighth podcast in our series. In this podcast, we'll continue to look at subject areas specific to the second year of teaching of our A-Level Business qualification. In the first six podcasts belonging to this series, we covered the first six subject areas relevant to AS and A-Level Business specifications. We considered the objectives of different businesses and analysed decision-making in the different functional areas. The content of these subject areas was built around a decision-making model where we considered functional objectives, analysed the existing situation, and weighed up alternative actions that might be taken in order to make a decision. This decision-making model continues into the remaining subject areas of the specification, but the emphasis is now on strategic decisions. We are now thinking about how the business as a whole might want to move forward. In podcast 7, we looked at subject area 7 of the syllabus. We considered the importance of the internal and external environments in terms of deciding what strategy to pursue. This included pest analysis, Porter's five forces, SWOT analysis, Elkington's triple bottom line, and Norton and Kaplan's balanced scorecard. We now turn to talk about subject areas 8 and 9 of the specification. In the first section, we'll look at choosing a strategic direction. In the second section, we'll cover strategic positioning. And in the final section, we'll look at the strategic methods a business may choose. Part 1. Choosing a strategic direction. The choice of strategic direction involves deciding which markets a business wants to compete in and which products it wants to offer. Most businesses evolve over time in terms of what they are, where they compete, and what they offer customers. Just look at Google. It seems to be constantly changing its strategic direction with its acquisitions and joint ventures. Strategic decisions are made in terms of the extent to which managers want the business to enter new market segments and develop new products. Strategic direction can be categorized using Ansoff's matrix in terms of market development, building sales of existing products in existing markets, market penetration, offering existing products to new customer groups, new product development, developing new products to offer to existing customers, and diversification, offering new products to new markets. The right strategy will depend on a range of factors, such as the risk the managers are willing to take, the competences the business has and how or whether these competences can transfer into new markets, the brand values of the business and its overall portfolio. There are plenty of opportunities in this subject area to discuss possible changes in strategic direction. For example, should a particular company move into a new product area or new countries? How should a company develop over time? There are always plenty of case studies in the news, and this should lead to interesting analysis and evaluation. Part 2. Strategic positioning. Within its chosen market and with its chosen products, a business still has to decide how to position itself and so how to compete. Where does it fit in relation to the competition? Is it premium or budget? Is it innovative? Look at any market and you will find businesses that have selected particular positions for themselves. JD Sports may focus on fashion, while Sports Direct more on sportswear. Why did they select this position? Is it the right position to choose? Would the business still want to be there in 10 years' time? Iceland has a clear positioning as a low-price frozen food retailer, providing excellent value for families. Will this strategy still work in the future? Think about why or why not. Strategic positioning focuses on how a business competes, what benefits it offers, and what price it charges relative to competitors. There are different positioning strategies that can be successful. For example, a business may decide to offer relatively low benefits, but provided the price is low enough, this can still be regarded as value for money. Just think of the success of discount shops in many markets. Alternatively, a business may focus on providing a very high level of benefits compared to competitors. Think of top luxury hotels. If the services are valued highly, then the customers will be prepared to pay a high price for this, and the business can be competitive even if what it offers seems expensive at first. However, there are clearly some combinations of benefits and prices that are unlikely to be successful. For example, it may be difficult to convince customers to pay a higher price than competitors if the benefits you offer are lower. By comparison, a lower price for higher benefits may seem very appealing to customers, but a business may struggle to make a profit, as offering many benefits tends to be expensive. These positioning strategies can be analysed using Bowman's strategic clock. This model enables you to plot the different strategies of businesses in terms of the price and the benefits relative to competitors. Think about why a particular strategy is chosen. What is everyone else doing? What are your competences? What does your SWOT analysis show? Why might a business change its strategy? For example, EasyJet and Ryanair have started to add more benefits to their offering. What does this mean in terms of the movement on the clock? What does it mean in terms of the implications for different functions? What does it mean for competitors? And why do you think they're making this change? Another way of analysing these strategies is by considering Porter's low-cost and differentiation strategies. Which of these strategies is likely to be the most successful for a particular business given its business environment? Which is sustainable? Think about what is realistic. So if managers want to compete by being low-cost, then what cost advantage do they need to have over others? Why will the costs of the business be lower than anyone else's? To pursue a strategy effectively, managers must be able to achieve and protect an advantage. What differentiates their business from the competition? What enables them to achieve lower costs? Is it the way they manage their supply chain, their IT systems, or their human resource flow? We need to analyse the source of lower costs or differentiation. Remember that a competitive advantage means a business does something better than competitors. So what exactly can a business do that others cannot? Managers need to identify what they think their competitive advantage should be and how they can achieve and sustain it. Maintaining an advantage can be difficult, as others will want to imitate or surpass them. It's important that we don't just assume that achieving low costs or differentiation is easy. Managers need to find ways in which their business can be better in their area than others, and need to think about how they can protect this advantage. Part 3. Strategic methods. Now we'll look at strategic methods. Once the direction is decided, the next step in strategic planning involves making choices about the strategic methods to be used. This might include changing the scale of its operations, being more innovative, going international, or going digital. When it comes to changing the scale of its operations, this can be either increasing or decreasing in size. Usually, a business will want to grow in size, but sometimes it may have to scale down. If a business is trying to grow, this may be organic, growing the existing business, or external, acquiring or merging with another business. Growth may bring with it the benefits of internal economies of scale, for example, lower unit costs through purchasing, managerial, or technical economies. Businesses can also benefit from economies of producing several different products and sharing common resources for them. These are economies of scope. And from the experience of having operated in an industry for some time, which is the experience curve. Managers may pursue growth because it brings power, reduces unit cost, and can give them a sense of self-achievement. Think of self-actualization in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Make sure you analyse the specific motives behind the growth of a business. Is it horizontal growth to benefit from technical economies of scale? Vertical growth to gain better control of supplies or outlets? Or conglomerate growth to spread risk? Sainsbury's decision to join with Argos is different from Foxconn taking over Sharp, and therefore the motives and consequences need to be analysed and evaluated in context. However, it may be possible for a business to become too big. It may encounter diseconomies of scale, such as communication, coordination, and control problems, or expand so fast that it encounters liquidity issues or overtrading. Choosing the right scale of operations and the right speed of growth are therefore interesting challenges, as is the managing of growth. Do managers want to grow the business, and if so, why and how will they manage this? Grainer's model of growth highlights some of the issues that businesses face as they get bigger and older. There are often competing pressures as a business grows, in terms of trying to keep control and at the same time letting individuals, departments, divisions, and regions have enough independence. Juggling these competing pressures and developing the right monitoring, information, and control systems is an ongoing challenge for managers. At times, there will be pressures to decentralize, but then at other times, there will be pressures to maintain control and direction. There is, of course, no right size for a business. It will depend on factors such as the level of demand, the extent to which economies of scale occur, and the objectives of managers. Students need to consider whether a business should get bigger or smaller and the management challenges and opportunities that different scales provide. There is also a decision to be made about the best way of growing a business. When choosing the right way to grow, managers will consider issues such as the cost, the required speed of growth, the alternatives, and the desired degree of control. Students need to be able to consider what is the best way for a particular business to grow and be able to defend their choice. Let's now look at innovation. Another strategic choice is how innovative a business wants to be. The cliche that you need to keep moving just to stand still is right. Other businesses are constantly developing and improving what they do. That means managers need to develop better products, but also better processes. If they don't improve, then they need to watch out for rivals and be careful that the whole industry they're in is not redefined. It is important, therefore, to be innovative. Having said this, organisations may differ in the extent to which they want to lead innovation in an industry. Some may be happier following what others do and making sure they keep up, rather than taking the risks of becoming pioneers. The challenges of developing and keeping an innovative organisation include ensuring that ideas are flowing through to managers, that the right ideas are selected and invested in, and that the good ideas are implemented effectively. This is partly to do with the culture of a business and whether or not it's acceptable to fail. Are employees rewarded for trying out new things? Are employees encouraged to share information with each other and monitor what other organisations are doing? In terms of where this innovation comes from, it may come from Kaizen, a process of continuous improvement, investment in research and development, encouraging risk-taking, and matching against others through benchmarking. Are managers looking at what others are doing and in corners they might not have looked in the past? Are they learning from others? Is innovation clearly on the business agenda? Are managers prepared to support and invest in it? Are they encouraging risk-taking and creativity? And if so, how? You need to be able to consider the need for innovation. It may be more important in some industries than others, and for some businesses than others. You need to be able to demonstrate how to bring it about and how best to protect it. Next, we'll look at internationalization. Another strategic option for a business is to operate more internationally. This can affect almost all aspects of a business, such as where it sources materials, where it recruits, and where it sells. Assessing the international environment is vital for many businesses. As ever, the key is to prioritise. What are the key regions we'd like to operate in? If we're thinking of targeting overseas markets, there are many countries out there and many regions within those countries, so which offer the best return on investment? What is the risk of operating within them? Managers will need to assess a variety of factors, including market size, the competitive environment, potential growth, the potential positioning of the business, the political, legal, and economic, social, cultural, and technological issues, and an assessment of the competitive environment. How attractive is a market overseas? How appealing is producing or sourcing from abroad? What are the risks and what are the alternatives? Managers also need to consider how best to enter a market. Is it worth entering into a venture with a local business or investing in setting up there themselves? They need to consider the investment required and the potential risks compared to the potential rewards. If a business is operating overseas, it needs to consider how best to do this. Should it be very centralized, running the operation essentially from its domestic headquarters? Or should it let its operations overseas run themselves independently? There is a tension here between the benefits of standardising and having central control, such as the potential economies of scale, with the gains from decentralising and having activities more suited to the local markets and potentially meeting customer needs more effectively. The combination of options is shown by Bartlett and Gozel's model. Students need to be able to consider the best approach for a business wanting to operate globally. This will depend on the relative pressures for global integration and the need for local responsiveness. Finally, let's look at digital. Another strategic option involves deciding on the extent to which digital technology is adopted. The question of how to benefit from the opportunity of digital technology whilst protecting yourself from its threats is one that most senior managers are busy tackling. For example, digital technology affects what we buy, our understanding of customers, think of how Amazon uses data mining, the way we manage our supply chain with enterprise resource planning, and our ability to forecast with big data. We have to consider how digital technologies are transforming businesses, how they are changing industries, and the potentially disruptive effect they can have. Digital technology gives managers more information, more insight into many aspects of their businesses, and more ways of communicating with and interacting with stakeholders. It is changing how businesses compete, who competes, think of Uber's impact on the taxi market and the growth of peer-to-peer lending, and how markets work. It is therefore a dramatic and significant force for managers to consider when deciding on their strategy. To summarise what we've covered in this podcast, the business environment is constantly changing. Managers must assess the existing position of the business and where it should go next. A business faces many strategic options and must choose how to grow and how fast to grow if it decides to grow at all, whether to go international, how digital its operations need to be, and how it can ensure it's as innovative as it wants to be and needs to be. Thank you for listening. We hope you found this podcast useful. For more helpful AQA resources, visit the AS and A-level business pages of our website, aqa.org.uk/business.